And let's check in with Captain Ryan Lambert, also known as our Plastic Man. And Ryan, kind of give us a recap on how your duck season went. I know you got affected by those negative tides, particularly in the second split, but comparing it to all the years in the past that you've been hunting down there, how would you rate this year?
You know, again, I think the lack of wind hurt us more than the lack of water, because we adjusted to the water and hunted in the evening, and we hunted further out. We did whatever we could. But the 80 degrees and lack of wind probably hurt more than anything. You know, we killed birds every day. You know, everybody had a great time. Fishing was great. So it was okay. Now, the last evening when that wind came through, all the guides went back out, and they put two boats together, and they had 10 of them that killed 60 birds in one blind.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, when those birds sit offshore, especially with all the pressure they have now, and they'll sit offshore in on the Gulf of Mexico on the west side, and they'll sit over here in Breton Sound, 10 miles offshore, to get, you know, they just sit out there. And then at night when the tide comes in, they come in. You know, just like deer, they get nocturnal with all the pressure. But when that wind blows, they got to come see me.
You know, I've been hearing that same story from not just South Louisiana or Louisiana, but also some neighboring states that, you know, our deer population has been forced nocturnal pretty much. I mean, the rut gets them moving the daytime. If you got a lot of feed and very little light pressure, you can get them out. And ducks are the same way. You know, they're flying at night. They're flying in after hours, before hours, and really becoming, educated, I guess. What species was that on that last day where they killed those 60? Birds? Was it a mix?
Lots of cans, pintails, gadwalls, green wings. Mm-hmm. That's about what made it up. It was a lot of birds. They was coming in 20 at a time. They were so excited.
Yeah, well, that's to be
four
expected.
Dogs working, they had four dogs working nonstop.
Yep. Well, we got a river that's below 2 right now, and maybe even get, well, I don't know, maybe there's a rise coming. You keep a closer eye on it than I do. What's that going to mean for the fishing down there?
Well, the fish is going to stay great. The water is beautiful, and, you know, the bait's there. You know, good thing with all this coal, I'm glad the speckled trout are down in those passes and stuff where it's deep, where they'll be all right. The fish is going to remain wonderful. I mean, it's just been great. You know, they're catching tunas close, monster tunas, redfish, speckled trout, sheep, everything you want, fly fishing. It's just great right now. It just really is. It's going to stay like that for a while.
Yeah, I saw some pictures. I think Sarah was down there, and y'all were working over the red bull reds, and I guess she was using that fly rod, huh?
Oh, yeah. She's not going to fish with that fly rod. She loves that fly rod, that girl. She's in, going to the Bahamas and Antigua the next couple of weeks. She just goes. Tori's fly fishing now too. She's eat up with it. So yeah, I got two of my girl guides just eat up with fly fishing, and they like to guide it. So it's a great thing. I mean,
talk about fly fishing guiding for fly fishing. How it's different than when you take people with rod and reels.
Oh well, if I got people with rod and reels, I could show them the pattern. I could show them the bite. You know, because I'm fishing too, but. When a fly rod, it's on them, you know, and it's very, very difficult because most people come from a background of stream and river fishing, and they can just throw a little cast, just, you know, 20, 30 feet, and they mend it, and it floats down the river, and the fish comes up and eats it. Whereas when you saltwater fishing, you have to see the fish, throw beyond the fish, and then bring your fly back in front of the fish and present the fly to him, and it's a whole different game. And I would think almost 90% of the people really struggle when they come do it for the first time.
You know, the thing that amazes me about fly fishing for those reds is how aggressive they grab it when you put it out in front of them, behind them. But when you throw it right close to them, it spooks them. They're scared to death of it. How can it be such a different reaction just because you're a little bit, a foot or two off on your cast?
And I tell people, don't throw to the fish. You don't. And don't strip real fast towards the fish because he thinks he's getting attacked. Versus if you watch redfish coming down the bank, they're just scouring the bottom. And when the little shrimp or minnows jump, boom, then they'll grab them. So you want to make it on their terms. So you want to get it in front of him, then strip to where he will be in the path. And then when he comes, just give it a little jump off the bottom, just like a shrimp or a minnow would do, and boom, he's going to grab it so fast, make your head turn. But you can't attack him. You just can't attack the fish. You just let it do on his terms.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, that's one of the hottest things going is people want – I get questions from people out of state about catching bull redfish on a fly rod. They see it on TV. They hear about it. They want to do it. When is the best time for somebody to come down there and do it?
Goodness, when the river falls out in July, it's great. But the winter months, you know, October, November, December, January, February are the best because the algae falls out the water when it gets cold. The water's really clear. The bull reds are close in and in the marsh. So it makes it very easy to do. And the fight is just awesome. To watch that big, big sun going to come up and slurp that fly in. Oh, it's great. I like
the sound that reel makes when that line is just pulling off of there is incredible. Boy, if that doesn't get your blood going, music. You better check your pulse. You may not be alive.
Yeah, they'll burn your fingers up too because you got that index finger kind of controlling that line. Shoot, you better have a glove on or something because same thing with bonefish. They'll burn you up. I tell you what, it's a great sport. You know, everything we do in the outdoors is so wonderful. I mean, the duck hunting, you know, we killed over 4,000 birds this year, which is really, really good for having such a tough year. But my guys, they get it. They work very hard at it. And, you know, I got people booking like crazy right now for next year.
Yeah.
You know.
You got the best down there. Ryan, I got to tell you, I need to reserve a trip with you to do a casting blast next year. I was meeting with Sean Sullivan, who does an outdoor show on the station that carries this show in Alabama, FM 106.5, and he said one of his bucket lists is to go with you. So I want to bring him down there and we'll do a cast and blast because he's a real sportsman, loves to duck hunt, and also likes to catch fish too.
Well, we'll make that happen, and we're going to get you to Mexico. I'm going to Mexico in a little while. My season continues. I still got this trip, and I have one more trip after that because there's a ton of quail, and if this sciatic nerve will let me go, I'm going to quail hunt. But we got a lot of wind, so this north wind is going to bring those redheads and pintails out of Texas and down into the Laguna Madre, so we ought to have a bang-up hunt this time.
Well, send me the next Mexican trips you got coming up because I'm going to make one of them for sure.
Yeah. You need to do a white wing trip and then a quail trip.
I do it all. Whatever's going on. Ducks, quail, doves.
You
I'm
have
all
to do
in.
Two
I'm
trips to do white wings. White wings early in the season, at August, September time frame, and I'll get you on that, and then we'll bring you back for the combo where you can shoot some quail. I mean, we stopping at 50 quail a hunt right now. I mean, it's wild quail too. It's just it's wonderful.
Well, I'm going to brush up on my Spanish, my Espanol, and we'll head down. Of course, I got you. You're the perfect translator.
That's right. I got it. And everybody depends on me when we're down there. What do you say?
¿Cómo se dice en Espanol, Captain Ryan? Yeah, look. All right, my friend, give them your telephone number. Somebody wants to get in on fly fishing. Of course, duck hunting's over till next year, but they're booking already. And if they want to find out about you, Nole Hase in Mexico, how do they reach you?
They can call me at 504-559-5111 or go to CajunFishingAdventures.com. It doesn't have Nole Hase on it because it's so exclusive. You know, it's very difficult to get in there. But just give me a call and we'll make it happen.
Right. We know somebody. All right, Ryan, we'll catch up with you next week, my friend. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. See you.
All right, that's Captain Ryan Lambert. All right, when we come back after this, we're going to wrap it up, get to some text message, and a very special announcement about this show. Stay tuned for it next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.